Amen. Thank you, ladies. That was a blessing. Enjoyed that. And always like the Christmas season and the beautiful songs about the birth of Christ. And that's where you're going to hear it in church. You can't hear it anywhere else, it seems. And how sad. How sad. I remember it was just 20-some years ago. It was okay to talk about Christmas as long as you kept Jesus in a manger. The little baby didn't offend anybody as long as he's in the manger. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about him being the Savior. Certainly don't talk about God with us. I mean, you know, you don't want to talk about that. That was 20-some years ago. Now, in the secular world, you don't even say Christmas. Now it's the holiday. And they're writing all kinds of new songs. I was getting ready to watch the news the other day, and they had a school choir get up, and they sang a song that was supposed to be about holiday season, and had, you know, and again, it was just all the foolishness that go along with holidays without Jesus. And it's just amazing how fast that has happened, where Jesus is being left out of his own birthday. And even religion, sad to say, but we shouldn't be shocked, because of the passage we just read, Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Of course, the will of his Father is that men be born again, which we'll see in the book of John. And it's amazing, because we don't think about this. It is so far from our minds. Many will say to me in that day, many. That is such a scary thought, that many, there's going to be a lot of religious people. There's, by the way, it's not just any one religion. It could be somebody sitting right here. I mean, many, many churchgoers, many people that do good works, they'll say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. In other words, there's going to be many people who are very religious. These are religious people here. And he says this in verse 23, and it ought to get our attention, really. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? Because I never knew you. Because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And without that price paid, then we go to hell. And without a person receiving that price paid, without a person trusting Christ as their Savior, doesn't matter how religious they are. Doesn't matter how religious you might be. Well, I go to church all the time. I've gone through all the different classes at Berean. I got baptized when I was a child. I mean, I've done all those things. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Does he know you today? Now, I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt. I go the other direction. I want people, the Bible says, ye may know that you have eternal life. I'm not trying to get you to doubt. But I want you to understand something. There are people who are religious but lost. And that's the title. That's one of the titles. I have two titles. I'll give you the other one here in a minute. But religious but lost. Father, I pray that you'll show us through your word today how that a person could be religious but lost, and how there are many, many religious people who are religious but lost. And Lord, you said so. And it's hard to imagine that. It's hard for us to grasp that, and yet you said it. And so please show us from the Scripture that truth, and help us to understand some things today that might help us not only with our own lives, but also as we talk to folks all around us, especially during the Christmas season. We have opportunities with relatives. We have opportunities with co-workers. God, please open those doors for us, and help us to see people trust Christ as Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned one of the titles is Religious But Lost, but then I go to another title that I like to use, and I think about it. It's one of the most frustrating things, and it goes like this. You're out soul winning, or you're with workers, or you're with people you know, or wherever. You're talking to people about the Lord. Maybe they've asked, why you do some of the things you do, go to church or whatever. And or if you're out soul winning, and you ask them, you say, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And we get a lot of responses, a lot of different words are used, a lot of different things. Sometimes people, they'll cuss us out or that. But at any rate, the one thing that probably frustrates me the most is somebody to say something like this. Well, I go to such and such church. Well, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I go to such and such church. You know, and they'll name the church. Sometimes they'll say, honey, what's the name of that church we go to? A lot of times it's like that. That's so frustrating to me. You know why that's so frustrating to me? Because they're religious. They're religious. I'm convinced that more people go to hell religiously than do rebelliously, perhaps. They're religious, but they're lost. Well, yeah, we go to such and such church. Like that's supposed to get me to walk away? Like now I'm supposed to just say, oh, well, good. Because that's not the right answer. I'd hate to think that if somebody knocked on your door and said, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I'd hate to think that you would say, oh, I go to Berean Baptist Church. Because that's not the right answer. That's not an automatic yes. That's not an answer to, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I'm a member at Berean Baptist Church. Oh, well, I got baptized at Berean Baptist. Oh, I go to the Sunday school at Berean Baptist Church. Oh, I'm in the master clubs and I grew up in Berean Baptist Church. Oh, you don't understand. I work on a bus at Berean Baptist Church. Oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher at Berean Baptist. No, I'm a deacon at Berean Baptist Church. Oh, I'm the pastor at Berean Baptist Church. How could you possibly ask me that question? Because the truth of the matter is, none of those are the right answer. Because the right answer is, yes, I am. I do know for sure I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've been born again. Nicodemus was a fella that was religious but lost. And he was as religious as any man could be. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to give you this from several passages. The Bible gives us really three passages about Nicodemus. Directly, at least, that I'm going to use. And you have to understand, there are so many people during this time of year that become very religious. Now, you know, again, I recognize that the secular world is getting so far away from the religious aspect of Christmas. They're getting way far away from that. And the old fat boy has a lot to do with that. Not him personally, but the worship of him. And just sit still. You'll be all right. I'm not going to reveal anything that'll ruin your life. But I'm just, you know, and frosty and all the silliness of holidays that is taken away. And I'm not saying all those things are just wicked. I'm just saying, hey, how about the birth of Jesus? How about we talk about the birth of Jesus? How about Emmanuel, God with us? How about the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? But again, that's not politically correct, and I don't want to get off on all that right now. But understand, the word religion is simply defined as a belief in God or gods to be worshipped. Sometimes it's referred to as a church, an assembly of some type of thing, assembly of churches, religions, that kind of thing. Do you understand under the actual definition of religion, Satan worship is a religion? Do you understand that communism is a religion? Human, because it's an assembly of people that believe something. Humanism is a religion. By the way, they won't tell you that in the public school system that humanism's a religion, but it is. Just as much as what we believe is considered a religion, humanism is also a religion. Satan says that you know, he wants us to live like a heathen, and he wants us to live like a pagan, and all that kind of stuff. But he also doesn't mind if we're religious. The devil doesn't really mind. We have this idea the devil wants us to go out here singing acid rock and dressing like a goth and all that kind of. We think that's all there is to it. But Satan really doesn't mind if you're religious. Doesn't bother him at all. In fact, many, many people are deceived according to the scripture here in Matthew 7. Many shall say. There's a whole lot of folks that are religious but lost. And their answer is always, well, I go to the church over here. Well, I go to this church. Well, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. I did, you know, all these different things, but none of those things are the right answer. Well, don't you understand? I have, rosary beads and I took Mass last week. By the way, you know, there are some folks that they believe that when they eat that little wafer, it turns into the flesh of Jesus. When they drink the juice, it turns into the blood of Jesus. And when you ask, have you received Jesus, they'll say, well, yeah, just last week. Religious but lost. Why do you say that? Look at John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. So you know, if you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I go to such and such church. Well, don't you understand? That's not a... I don't believe in any of that. Well, you're condemned already. See? You're already condemned. Well, I'm just going to do nothing. I'll be all right if I just... You're condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why. Now, Nicodemus was just like that. Chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are very, very religious people. We see in the Scripture a lot about the Pharisees. Very, very religious people. And he was a man of the Pharisees. And the Bible says the same came to Jesus by night and said some very religious things to him because he was a religious man. So I want to talk to you about Nicodemus, and I just have 3 points. We'll go to 3 different passages. First of all, what religion is. What religion is. And I believe more people go to hell through religion than through drugs, than through immorality. And I'm talking about over the years and years of organized religions. Now, the Bible does give an idea of religion, James 1, verse 26, and I certainly would not want to leave this out. James chapter 1. And verse 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Now that's a key thing, deceiveth his own heart. this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And the whole idea of what God is calling pure religion is there should be a change in your life. Something should be happening in your life. There should be something going on. Again, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, what he deceives his own heart. And he's just religious, but nothing's happened in his heart. Nothing has happened. He has the form of godliness, but he denies the power thereof. And this form of godliness, this idea, and again, that's in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, what I just quoted, that is just, that form of godliness is how so much religion is today. It could be you sitting in, well, I'm in church. That's a form of godliness. Now, it could be a good form of godliness if you're in church and you have Jesus Christ in your heart and you're a new creature, old things are passed away and all things are become new. But if your form of godliness is how you think you're going to get to heaven, then it's a bad thing. Oh, you say, but I got on a suit, I got a tie, I'm looking good, I'm in church. Yeah, but alone, that's all it is just a form of godliness. The power thereof is when you trust Jesus as Savior and you become a new creature. That is the power that takes place. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Nicodemus obviously is very religious, and he's educated, and he's a Pharisee, the Bible says. This guy has grown up in church. He knows religion. He knows much of the Bible. But his heart's not changed. And Nicodemus, though he was a religious man, and though he was an educated man, if you knocked on his door in this time, and you said, hey, sir, if you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven, he would say, I'm a Pharisee. Why go to such and such church over here? Oh, I've already been through all those classes. You know why? Because he didn't know the answer. He didn't know the answer. We were soul winning in Shreveport, Louisiana. My wife knocked on a door. Lady came to the door. Elderly lady came to the door. And my wife asked her that question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Lady looked at her and she said, don't ask me that question. My wife said, well, I need to ask that question because I'm concerned about you. She said, oh, she said, you don't have to worry about me. I've been a Sunday school teacher for 30 years. My wife said, well, that's wonderful. But I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? She said, I said, don't ask me that question. She said, I told you the answer to that question. The answer is, I've been a Sunday school teacher over at such and such church for 30 years now. Now leave me alone. But ma'am, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And the lady slammed the door in her face. That's not the right answer. Yeah, but I've got a perfect attendance Sunday school pin. That's not going to get you to heaven. And you can get baptized till you shrink up and shrivel like a prune, and that ain't going to get you to heaven either. Alone, it's just a form of godliness. Notice what religion is in light of Nicodemus here. Notice he came by night. The Bible says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. And, he didn't want association with Jesus. He didn't want anybody to know because he's religious, but he is kind of curious about things. And he came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be associated with Jesus. That's today. That is what is going on today. I mean, Christmas, oh, it's okay to leave Christ out. Don't you dare X Christ out. If you can't write it right, just don't write it at all. Huh? We think that's no big deal. I see it everywhere anymore. Xmas, Xmas, Xmas. Don't X Jesus out. What is our problem? I mean, how in the world can... And Christians are going along with that stuff. But again, that was Nicodemus' problem. He had no problem. He would have no problem with Christmas. He just didn't want anything to do with Jesus. I'll go see him at night so nobody sees me. Don't you understand? He called Jesus a teacher here. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. I mean, he recognizes that Jesus is a good man. You realize Muslims will include Jesus as a good teacher and a prophet. Oh, yeah. They look at him the same way as their wonderful Muhammad. Listen to me, but tell him he's God. Yeah, they don't go for that. Neither do the Jehovah Witnesses. Huh? And if you talk to the Mormons, they'll say, well, we're all gods. Do you understand, folks? Listen to me. All these things, well, Jesus is a great teacher. That's not going to get you to heaven, though. Well, Jesus was a great preacher. That isn't going to get you to heaven either. Well, he was a moral example, and he was good socially, and he was very intellectual. Hey, listen to me. You don't understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then you're just religious, but lost. Religious, but lost. You know, Nicodemus said, I hear you're a good teacher, but that's not enough. That's not enough. I go to such and such church. And then he says this, he said, well, here's another thing I recognize. He said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He said, you know, Jesus, I've noticed you've been doing a lot of miracles around here, and obviously we realize God must be with you. But see, that's what religion will talk about. Religion gets all excited about a stain on an iron that looks like Jesus. I don't know how many thousands of people are going to go look at that iron that has a stain on it that looked like Jesus. The one positive thing about that iron, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You saw that in the paper? Yeah. The one positive thing about that iron is that stain of Jesus, it shows him as being bald-headed. I've been trying to tell people that for years. Brother Pace and I have been pushing for that truth. I'll be honest with you, folks. Religion gets real, real excited about that kind of stuff. Religion gets excited about the rust stain on a grain bin years ago that looked like Jesus, and hundreds of thousands of people went, and I mean, they looked at that grain bin and it just thrilled their souls. But I serve a God that's real. I serve a Jesus. I don't have to go look at a grain bin or look for a stain on an iron. I mean, He's in my heart. I'm different. I've changed. He's made me a new creature. And again, religion recognize, well, you know, God's with you and this is pretty good stuff. But you know, miracles don't prove everything. The Bible says about Satan that he'll do lying wonders. And you know, people today, religion is looking for a sign all the time. Matthew 12:39 says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Yeah, yeah. See, religion alone is just a form of godliness. That's all it is. And you may be sitting here today as right in that form of godliness. It just looks religious, but nothing's happened in your life. Then religion can't discern the truth. And this is so true with Nicodemus. Notice verse 4. The Bible says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Oh, that's after Jesus made a very, very deep statement. He said this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus scratched his head. What? Because religion doesn't get it. Just doesn't understand, doesn't get it. Cannot discern the truth. Nicodemus saith, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He has grown up in church. He's grown up with the Bible. He knows the scriptures, but he can't get it. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? She'd be miserable. And it's not possible, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He didn't get it. He couldn't get it. Lack of understanding. Born again? What are you talking about? You know why men have trouble and religion has trouble understanding that? It's because there's no ritual attached to it. There's no lighting of candles attached to it. There's no, let's just say it, works attached to it. Because any of us understands we did absolutely nothing the first time we were born. How many of you remember when you were born? Anybody? No, born the first time. Brother Hawkins, come on, you don't remember yesterday that well. I know about that. You know, it's... Amen, brother. But not that first time, do you? First time, you don't remember that, do you? I don't either. They say that it was exciting, you know, but I don't remember anything about it. I mean, I won't get into that right now. Oh, no, you're the only one. You were all alone. I'll get into it tonight. Remind me. But anyway, aw. No, you know, religion doesn't, they don't like anything that leaves out they're getting credit for something. Huh? Yeah. Hey, you were born. Congratulations. Boy, you worked hard to get here. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. Nothing. Not a thing. Huh? Born again is the same thing. You don't do anything. God does it. God does it all. And religion loves to take credit for salvation. But there's no discernment of truth. There's no reality of the idea that, well, I can't get to heaven any other way but just me doing it. There's no idea that God has to do something. It's totally foolishness to religion. And you know, even though the truth is right before his eyes, he didn't get it. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? In other words, a master, aren't you a person who knows the scriptures and you don't get it? Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. He was wounded for our transgressions. Hey, Nicodemus, don't you get it? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Don't you get it, Nicodemus? I mean, don't you understand, Nicodemus? Do you understand the Old Testament sacrifices? Don't you get it? Don't you know the story of Isaac? Don't you know the story of how Abraham took him and offered him and was going to offer him as a sacrifice, but God himself provided himself a lamb? Don't you understand the scripture? Don't you understand Genesis 3:15? The prophecy of a Messiah. Don't you understand, Nicodemus, that the Messiah is going to come and save his people from their sins? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Jesus is the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah. Nicodemus, I'm standing right before your eyes. Don't you get it? But you know, religion, you can be right before their eyes and they don't get it. Most religious people, when you say the Bible says we've all sinned, they look at you like, are you crazy? I'm one of the good people. You go downtown, you'll find some sinners. Yeah. And religion has a hard time with a simple explanation. You know, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Can it be more simple than that? As Moses lifted up the serpent, and you know the story of that, the brazen serpent, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, as he lifted it up, and the people, what did they have to do? They had to look and live. That would require believing. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Don't you get, hey, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Can't you understand that, Nicodemus? Don't you get it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, don't you get it? And as someone yesterday out soul winning said to somebody else, wouldn't you like to know that? They said, I'd rather just go to hell. Now listen, you need to understand. People don't want to get it. Now, I'm going to show you Nicodemus was serious about this thing, but he still had no clue. See, that's too easy for most religions. It's too easy. As Moses lifted up the serpent, you mean just look and live? Yeah, we sing a song about it. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Amen. I love that song. What you say? A child could understand that. Yeah, they could. That's why we don't require children to take 5 years of catechism before they get saved. All that'd do is confuse them. Right? Yeah. Look, Jesus said, I'm the door. Amen. Okay, how do you go in? Through the door. Well, wait a minute, though. There's got to be some deep theological truth to that door. It's just a door. Okay, let's get deep on you again. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. What do you have to do? Take it. Eat it. Well, come on, where's the depth? Religion's always looking for things to be very confusing and deep, and nobody can understand it, because as long as nobody understands, they can tell you anything they want. You know what Jesus said? He said, you must be born again. That means you have to be born once, which we all qualify. Amen? I know, you thought maybe they found you under a rock somewhere. No, you were born. Not hatched, born. Amen? Born once, and then you have to be born the second time. You have to be born again. Jesus explains that you have to be born of the water. That's when you're born the first time. And the Spirit, that's when you're born the second time. And that's when you're born from above. And you know, it's the same thing. God becomes your Father. Amen. And you're born. Literally, born spiritually. But again, religion confuses all that. Religion can't understand all that. And again, because it points to Christ and it excludes man's works. See, religion without Christ is futile. As we read in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is the only way to get to heaven. And so religion really basically says, hey, leave Christ out of this thing. I have it figured out myself. What religion is. Number two, what religion says. These are both short points. John chapter 7, verse 45. Here's what religion says. And Nicodemus is starting to think about it. And by the way, that's what I'm trying to get you to do if you're here today and all you are is religious. Amen. That's what I'm trying to get us to do as we talk to loved ones and they give us these answers of well, I'm religious, or, well, I go to church, or, well, I'm a deacon, or, don't you know, I'm a servant in that church. Doesn't matter the name of the church. It could be Berean Baptist Church. If they're not saved, then they're lost. period. In John chapter 7, we see Nicodemus again, and he's starting to think about things. Amen. And he says in verse 45, then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees. They said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. And then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? As if that means anything. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, notice that, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Boy, they didn't like Nicodemus. Nicodemus is starting to think about things here. The Bible says, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. And here we see Nicodemus, and we get to see what religion has to say about Jesus and what it has to say. Here the officers didn't arrest him, and now the Pharisees are all upset. Why didn't you arrest Jesus? Hey, what's your problem here? And so Nicodemus just says, hey, wait a minute. He says, maybe we need to hear him. And I mean, they get bent out of shape. They really get upset. Oh, we can't entertain this thing. So what do? First of all, they accuse him of deception. Verse 47, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Has Jesus deceived you? We're hearing more and more of that today. If you believe in Jesus, you must be deceived. What's wrong with you people? I mean, all of a sudden, that which our country was founded on, all of a sudden, we're on the terrorist watch list. All of a sudden, we're the ones that are, what's their problem? I mean, they're thinking about heaven and all this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, you know, everybody cringes when you say the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, a sports person says, Jesus, I want to thank Jesus, and they quit cut out of that we don't want to hear that. Everybody's scared of it. Even religious people are. I don't want to talk about it. They're accusing of deception. Verse 48. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? As if that means anything. In other words, they're saying, hey, what about, this person who's ahead of that person, and that person that's ahead of that person, and here's our organizational picture here of our religion. Have any of them believed on him? Come on. I mean, that ought to tell you something. Yeah, it tells me they're all lost. That's what it tells me. Huh? What they're saying is, hey, wait a minute, we go to such and such church, we should know. Oh, you should know. You really should know, but you don't know. So how do they respond? They respond with more church and religion. Notice verse 49. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. They're saying you don't know the law, so you're cursed. You obviously don't get it. Yeah, but we're the ones who do get it. They say, if you don't do it our way, you're cursed. Now, you say, well, you're saying that. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying what the Bible says. That's all I'm saying. I'm not making up anything. I'm not trying to make people Baptist. I'm trying to get people saved according to what God says in His Word. You get accused of that all the time. Well, if it's not your way, it's the highway. No, if it's not God's way, it's the hell way. I didn't write it. It's for by grace are you saved through faith. It's God's grace that we can go to heaven. It's God's grace, it's God's mercy, it's God providing a way. Why wouldn't we take Him up on that? It's not the Baptist way, it's God's way. So they respond with more church and more religion. And they, if you don't do it our way, you're cursed. If you don't give so much, and then we'll make up some kind of a rule or some kind of a law that there's a place the dead people go before they go to heaven or hell. It's an in-between place, and you can buy their way out of the bad place. Man, that's a great fundraiser. Honestly, I'm serious about that. I mean, you know, if you think Aunt Frieda might be in that bad area where she's fluctuating between places, and you can just start popping money into the meter and bring her up, isn't that good? Huh? Now, again, you might not like Aunt Frieda. So you might not put any money in there. Boy, that seems like that'd be a sin, doesn't it? But what I'm saying is, I'm just saying that sounds very confusing. Uh-huh. Yeah, do it our way. You've got to do it our way. And then they just boldly lie. And this is so typical, verse 52. Who doesn't know the Scriptures? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? By the way, they knew that Nicodemus wasn't from Galilee. They're making fun of him. But then they say this, search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Okay, search and look. Search and look. You know, now here's what they do. Search and look. Well, what they've done is they've taken away the Word of God and replaced it with some other translation or some other perversion that isn't the Word of God, and you can search that and look in that all day long and not find the truth. Help me out a little bit here. It is right. I know it's right. So in other words, we're going to write our own book. You search and look in that, and you'll find out what I'm telling you is the truth. Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what the Mormons have done with the Book of Mormon? Isn't that what the Jehovah's Witnesses have done with the New World Translation? Isn't that what the liberals do with a translation a week? Hello? I don't know what Bible they were reading. I don't know what Bible they were studying. I don't know what Word of God they thought they might have had. But to say for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet is foolishness. It's false because Jonah and Nahum both were out of Galilee and they recognized both of them as prophets. And by the way, that's in your King James Bible. Amen. It's right there. So what they say is they just kind of count on this idea that nobody really reads their Bible anyway. And if they did read their Bible, they're not even sure if they have a Bible because they've been wondering about it for so long because so many people have gotten up and said, well, let's all get our Bibles out. Now you read yours and you read yours and you read yours and you read yours and none of them say the same thing. Some of them don't even have it in it if you have the Reader's Digest Condensed Version because they leave out some of the stuff they don't think is important. Hey, everybody gets confused. Nobody knows, well, the Bible says this. They don't have a clue if it does or not. Bless God, that's why, you know, you come to Berean Bet, bring your Bible. Look at your Bible. Read your Bible. Search the Scriptures daily to see if it's so. Amen. Religion doesn't want people to have the Word of God or to look at the Word of God or read the Word of God because they will lie about facts that are in the Word of God. Absolutely bold faced lie to try to deceive people. The last thing, number three, what it needs. What it is, what it says, and what it needs. John 19, verse 39, last time we see Nicodemus here in reference to religion, John 19, 39. But something's happened to Nicodemus. Somewhere in there, Nicodemus trusted Christ as his Savior. Somewhere in there, Nicodemus, you notice the first time he's lost. He's religious but lost. Second time, he's wondering about it. He's checking it out. He's wondering, is Jesus who he says he is? And the third time, we see him now. John 19, verse 39, there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Hey, by the way, isn't that good? God makes sure we know that's the right guy. That's that same guy. And it says, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. And of course, this is to, then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of Jews is to bury. And there he is at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's serving God. And I'm telling you, here's what religion needs. Needs Jesus. That's what Nicodemus got. Nicodemus, you talk about a Pharisee getting saved. I mean, that is not a popular thing, but he didn't care. He got saved. Not a popular thing to be there to help wind the body of Jesus up, to embalm the body of Jesus. Not a popular thing to do for a Pharisee. Oh yeah, but he's a saved Pharisee. Amen. And what did he get? He got Jesus. And that's what religion needs. He came to Jesus out of religion. Amen. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did what God said, as the Son of Man must be lifted, or as the brazen serpent had to be lifted up, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I don't know, maybe it was when he saw Jesus hanging there on the cross. Maybe that's when he bowed his head and said, oh God, I get it now. I see it now. You are the sacrifice for my sins. And I am a sinner. Oh God, save me. I don't know when it was, but he got saved. He got saved and he got it. He got it. He believed and he trusted and he loved Jesus. Remember the first time he came at night. This time he came right out in the open. He came when he would be criticized. He came when he would be scrutinized. He came right out in the open. Why? Because if any man be Christ, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he didn't care what anybody thought this time. Amen. He loved Jesus, and he came out in the open to serve Jesus at the death of Christ. He was not ashamed anymore. Hey, I'm going to tell you folks, it's more than just wearing a big old cross. It's more than having WWJD stamped into your forehead. Amen? It's living for Jesus. It's coming out saying, I love Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I don't know how many. I've led two people to Christ that had WWJD bracelets or something. I said, you know what that means? They said, well, yeah, yeah. I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm wearing this bracelet. I said, you know what? Let me show you something. Let me show you something. It's not enough, huh? Oh, I got this big old cross on here, necklace. I got cross earrings and I got a big old t-shirt says Jesus on it. It has some cute little thing. And it's not enough. You need Jesus here in your heart. Huh? Amen. And like Nicodemus, you need to be brave and bold to stand for Jesus Christ. Those who are saved will. Amen. You say, I'll stand for Jesus. You won't even get baptized because you're afraid your hair will get wet. What are you talking about? You'll stand for Jesus. Amen. I mean, I'll stand for Jesus. You won't even join the church. Well, I don't want to be associated. What is your problem? Amen. Well, it's quiet. It was like that in Sunday school. It made me go over. There goes lunch. But then, not only did he came to Jesus out of religion, but he loved Jesus and he thanked Jesus because he came at Jesus' death to serve. Without Jesus, service is just a show. It's just religious service. I am an acolyte. I'm not sure I'd be real proud of that, to be honest with you. But, well, I light the candles in our church. Great. That's a wonderful thing. I'm an usher at the church. Oh, that's good. I work in the nursery. That's wonderful. I'm going to tell you, none of those things will save you. Won't do you a bit of good when it comes to heaven and hell. Not at all. Not at all. And Nicodemus, he wanted to thank Jesus. Understand, religion cannot save. Religion cannot help with problems. It might give a temporary fix to a problem, but it doesn't help the real problem. It won't help with discouragement. It will not help with sin. Only Jesus Christ can help you. Only he can save you. Let me close with Acts 4 and verse 12. I make reference to this verse all the time. Also John 14, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll say that in funeral services all the time. And it is amazing to watch religious people cringe. Hello? It is. I mean, religious people don't like, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you mean? I am the way. You're narrow-minded. I'm not the one that said it. I'm not saying Doug Rogers is the way because he's not. I said, Jesus said, he's the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, that's no man, cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. I know that's not politically correct. I know that's not popular today. We want to embrace all religions, and as long as everybody's sincere. But I'm telling you, my friend, Jesus said he's the only way. There is no other way. There is no other kind of way. There is no other little, we'll figure this all out. It's just one way. One way. Remember the signs years ago? One way. Remember we give those, one way, Jesus. That's it. There is no other way. Boy, nowadays that's so unpopular. People get bent out of shape, can't even talk about it. You can't even breathe that at work. And now there's a law that says what I just said is hate speech. Turn me in. I'm not hating anybody. I'm loving people. That's why I say it, because there is just one way. Just one way. Yeah. That's right. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. I didn't write it. God did. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the only way. And religion doesn't get it. I mean, come on. Major religions now are all holding hands with each other, excluding Jesus. Oh yeah, we'll admit he's a teacher. Muhammad was a teacher. Joseph Smith was a teacher. Mahatma Gandhi was a teacher. I mean, all these people, we'll just put them all in the same boat. They're not in the same, even the same breath. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. He is the one who came. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. He is the only sacrifice. There is no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. Again, it's not my rules. It's how it is. It's the truth. Next time, and especially during this season, you'll have people talking religion all the time. understand if their answer is, well, I'm a deacon in the church, or I go to such and such church, or my parents have always made sure I'm in church, and if it's anything other than I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, they are religious but lost. And how sad. Thank God Nicodemus got it. He got it. He saw it. And you see the progression. First time he came by night. Second time he said, hey, shouldn't we listen to them? Third time, something changed him. He listened and he believed and he trusted Christ and then he served. And I trust that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. And I trust that you will now be ready as people, you know, get you a handful of tracts. And everywhere you go, get you some tracts. Make sure people understand. Don't let them out of it. Don't let people wiggle their way out of the question, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Amen. Tell them the truth. Hey, all I know is this. God says this. God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. That's how I'm saved today. I used to be, oh yeah, hey, I was sprinkled as a Methodist. I was, little baby, sprinkled. I looked up and said, goo goo gag gag. And they put some water on me, and I'm not sure how I responded. I can imagine several opportunities of ways I responded. But I don't know of any of them that said, Lord, I believe. I've trusted you as my Savior. I believe. Listen to me, that's the answer you got to give. That's the answer that is the way to heaven. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's talking, looking around. How many would say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now, I know that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand if you know that today? You know you're saved. No doubt about it. God bless you. Wonderful. What a testimony. I can't see everyone. I'm not really trying to see everyone, but you can put your hands down. I just wonder if there's some here today who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Slip up your hand, say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. God's speaking to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All over. Christian, God's speaking to your heart as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to do what you tell us to do. I pray you'll help us again to know for sure that we have trusted you as our Savior, to know for sure we're on our way to heaven, not to be counting on our religion. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use us during this time of year to tell others about your Son and about how they can have eternal life. Please bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Take your hymnals, turn to hymn number 315. Is that right? Take my life and let it be. God speak in your heart. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. You come if you need to pray. Come on, right now.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The invitation continues. The ladies are playing. You know the song, you know the words. Just take my life. Take my life, Lord. Take my life. Do people look at you and just think maybe you're just religious? Well, what a terrible testimony if they just think we're religious. Anybody can put on a show. What's happened in your heart? Has anything? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Folks are still coming, praying. If you have a decision to make, still time. That's why we came. Something you'd like to pray about. I hope your answer would never be, well, I go to Berean Baptist Church. That's not the answer. It's not the answer. Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door and says, hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Now, they don't ask it that way, but I mean, seriously. You know, you tell them, oh, I go to Berean Baptist Church, as if that's going to help them. Tell them you go to Berean Baptist. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about His blood. Jehovah Witness knocked on my door once. I said, "Sir, I said, I know you have all your magazines and everything, but let me just ask you a question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven?" Tears started streaming down his cheeks. You know why? Because he couldn't answer that question. He said, "Well, let me talk to you." I said, "Hey, let me show you something. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. It has nothing to do with me. It just has to do with I did what God said to do. I know it." He said, "How can you know? Let me show you." Oh, that 80-some-year-old man left weeping because he didn't know. He had a whole pack of Watchtower magazines, but he did not know he was going to heaven because he would not trust Christ as his Savior. Please, 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 do not take your Berean Baptist Church membership and hold that up to Jesus when you're time to spend eternity somewhere and say, "There's my ticket." It's not. It's not. Your baptism, that's not your ticket. Why should I let you into heaven? Oh, the blood of Jesus, that's why. I've trusted Him. He's my Savior. Amen. Amen. Look up this way, please. Cynthia Given has come today, and she wants to join our church. She's saved, and I baptized her just a couple weeks ago. And so all in favor of Cynthia joining our church, let it be known with a good hearty amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Cynthia. It's wonderful. It's good to have you, and we appreciate you coming and joining with us. If you would like to go out into the hallway there, just follow my wife, and I'd like to ask all our members to make sure and welcome Cynthia into the fellowship of our church, and that is wonderful. Don't forget the activities of the day. I believe you have a special 4 o'clock ensemble, 4:30 choir, getting ready for the cantata, and so that'll be good. And then, of course, 5 o'clock, all of our different activities, prayer times, children's choirs, and teens meet, and then 6 o'clock, our evening service. So keep all those things in mind. Busy, busy time of year. And just pay attention to all the things that we have going on. That'll be good. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we are truly thankful that you did not leave us to guess or to wonder or not know, but allowed us the privilege of knowing for sure through simple faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, confessing our sin and trusting Him to know that we have eternal life. Father, we thank you that faith in you is not emptiness or motions, but a true relationship and a walk on a daily basis. Lord, if there's one standing here yet today that does not have a personal relationship with you, I pray that you would take care of that before they leave. Ask, Lord, that you'd guide us and direct us, and may we show the reason for this Christmas season as we go about our daily task. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake.